Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us to talk about that right now, he covers Major League Baseball for MLB.com, and he is our very own right here in Houston, Richard Justice, joining us here on Payne and Pendergast. Richie, Happy New Year. Great to talk to you. What a crazy, crazy day yesterday. What do you think the overriding emotion was over at Minute Maid Park yesterday, Richie?
I think two things. I think stunning, and I think sadness. But I also think, as a member of the front office that told me a month ago, he said, this offseason, we've been in limbo the whole time. You can't do anything. You don't know what the organization is going to look like. And so the owner of the team took a pretty clear and decisive action. He set a standard. You know, people say it's a bad day for baseball, but when you deal with your problems, you deal decisively with them and you turn the page. To me, that's sort of a good day. Here's the thing that I think, though. You can clean house and you can say, we're a new front office. What the ethics and the bar we set yesterday is not the ethics we have today. The problem is you can't get rid of all the players. And so people like you and me go into the clubhouse in spring training. Everything leads back to the cheating signal. You can say, hey, we're not answering any more questions about that. That's been dealt with. But everything, you do any story on any player, on any game, and it comes back, well, was that on the up and up? And that cloud is not going to go away. And all you can do is keep playing and try to show that you can win without doing it. But it's a hell of a challenge for the players because players, as you know, Seth, are sensitive to things, to what's being said and all of that. And, you doubted me. Yeah, we're all doubting you today.
Well, yeah, and it's true. It's going to come up again. I think every player there, look, I reached out to try to get a couple interviews yesterday from players. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not going to come on. Hey, you want to come on and talk about spring training for 15 minutes?
Right. What can you say? The report says virtually or almost all players on 2017 benefited in some way or another. So does that cast a cloud over everything? Yeah, it does.
And that's what I would ask you, Richard. And I'm not trying to diffuse the criticism of the Astros at all. They cheated. They got punished for it. There is still this kind of hanging issue out there of which other teams were doing this and to what extent. Is Major League Baseball going to pursue that, or do you feel like this is the sacrificial lamb and they're going to make their case here and just move on?
Well, no, the Red Sox are on the clock now. That investigation has already started, and I think I would be stunned if Alex Cora is not fired. I mean, he is going to be fired. He's mentioned 11 times in the report. And the commissioner is a lawyer, and he only deals with the facts that are in front of him. If you have evidence about that the Dodgers or the Rangers or the Brewers, and there have been rumors about all those teams, if you show it to me and I'll deal with it. He has specific facts about the Red Sox, what the Red Sox were doing, and that Alex Cora was the leader of what started in Houston. So he's going to be dealt with decisively. And I think that's all you can do. And the commissioner, after the Apple Watch incident with the Red Sox in 2017, had told both GMs and managers and sent a memo to all clubs, to ownership, that if this happens again, if I find this happening, because this technology is everywhere, cameras the size of pins and all of this stuff, I'm going to come down hard. We're not going to have this. We're not going to have fans going to a game and thinking it's not on the up and up, that you're playing by one set of rules and they're playing by the other.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, joining us on Sports Radio 610. So, Richie, what do they do at general manager and manager here, both short-term and long-term?
It was really unusual. You never hear an owner say, I'm taking over, other than Jerry Jones. Mostly they say, I'm not going to be involved, when they're always involved. And Jim Crane has not been involved with the baseball ops in a large measure. But he said, I'm going to be in charge of the baseball operations at this point. They have some very talented people. The first among equals is a kid named 30-year-old named Pete Petula, who is a rising star. He interviewed for the Pirates GM job. The problem there is he's dealt mostly at the minor league level, and Jeff Lunos had said a couple of weeks ago that I'm going to start involving him in major league negotiations and all that. He would seem to be the logical choice. And then to manage the team, it's going to be Joe Espada. He's right there. You know, it's late in the game to rob another team. So they have those. But I think, is it interim? I think at this point, everything is interim.
Well, and now as George Springer heads to arbitration with the Astros, and all this is going on without a general manager, by the arbitration projection services, it sounds like the Astros are about $3 million shy of what the arbitrators will give George Springer. This doesn't seem like the kind of thing that would have happened if you had a guy that maybe was actually active and involved right now. Is this, and how is this going to affect George Springer's negotiations moving forward for a long-term contract?
To me, and I don't know how you guys feel, everybody sees it differently, George Springer is the most important player in the organization that he represents. And I love Altuve, I love Bregman, Verlander, but he represents everything they're about. He was such set that when he was on the disabled list a couple of years ago, AJ asked him to put the uniform on and be in the dugout. I want you to get on me, get on your teammates. He is when people talk about the 17 Astros, the joy and the energy, that to me all starts with George Springer. So here's what I do. You want to start turning the page? You announced today that you've signed him, and this is Paul Goldschmidt's contract. 5 years, $130 million, that you tell your fans, okay, yesterday was a bad day, and we got some uncertainty going forward, but look who we got locked up. We got Bregman locked up. We got Altuve locked up. We got Springer locked up. That's the core of our guys, and we're going to do things differently, but what you loved about this team is still going to be there, and it begins with getting Springer signed. Like, you can't let him leave. I cannot. And I know in sports we get accustomed to seeing guys in other uniforms. I can't comprehend him playing for another team. And I hope Astros fans feel the same way. And I certainly hope Jim Crane feels that way.
Speaking with Richard Justice from MLB.com, this is a question that a listener had that I honestly hadn't even thought of yet. But how is this going to affect Altuve one day when it comes to Hall of Fame discussions, do you suppose?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to deal with all those, you know, like with the steroid question, as you looked at a ballot and go, did he or didn't he? I think it will be a factor, and I think a lot of that's going to depend on what does he do in 2020 and 2021 and 2022. That's the problem with this. It calls everything into question. Like, you go back and you replay certain games and go, was he expecting that pitch? I mean, you know, maybe he wasn't, but when you've introduced this, and you are under the suspicion, then everything you do is called into question, and it becomes a factor in that. Alex Wood pitched game 4 of the Dodgers at Minute Maid Park in the 2017 World Series, and he said, we were alerted by how the Astros reacted in games 1 and 2 at Dodger Stadium. They were changing the signs so often, they think we're cheating. They think we've got cameras on them. That must mean they have cameras on them. And Alex Wood pitched that game 4, pitched a great game. They changed the signs every 12 pitches.
Hmm. Richard Justice, MLB.com, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Richard, so much has been made of the firings of Luno and Hinch that the draft sanctions are sort of flying under the radar.
Yeah.
Can you frame that for us? How devastating is it for a Major League Baseball team to be docked a first and a second round pick in two consecutive drafts?
You had a rich farm system that you traded 4 guys to Arizona for Greinke. You took on $30 million in payroll, and you traded 4 guys that are going to be in the big leagues this year for minimum salary. That depletes your farm system. That's exactly the kind of deals the Cubs made in the wake of winning in 16, exactly the kind of deal Jeff Luno said he wasn't going to make, and now you lose 4 more players. Those are where you get your impact players in the first and second round. The thing every team is trying to accomplish now is payroll flexibility and elite prospects. That gives you the ability to do all kinds of different things. And the Astros have been hurt. The Greinke trade and taking two picks away, wow. They didn't take any international. They can still go out and do great work in international. But it's a gut punch.
Richard, another question a lot of people have is, why weren't any individual players punished, and was that ever a consideration?
No, it wasn't a consideration. The players got complete immunity. I think what Commissioner Manfred wanted is, tell me the full story. I'm not going to punish you guys. I'm going to hold the people in charge accountable. And he had told this. He had told after the Red Sox incident in 17, I'm going to hold the people in charge accountable.
Richard Justice joining us on Sports Radio 610. Richie, last one before we let you go. Do Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch work again? And if so, how soon and in what capacity?
I think A.J. does. He's on an apology tour. He's going to just throw himself on the mercy of the court, the mercy of public opinion, say, I screwed this up. I knew it was going on, and I should have stopped it. Luhnow's in a different spot. You know, he wasn't, you know, there was some jealousy about him in the game. I guess it was jealousy. A lot of people didn't like Jeff. And that's going to be probably a tougher sell. But I can, look, I've been doing this a long time. AJ's the best I've ever dealt with in terms of managing personalities and players and managing a game and representing an organization, the best. I can see him selling himself to another franchise easily.
It's Richard Justice. MLB.com is where you can find him. Richie, we appreciate the time as always. Great job on the coverage of all this.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there it is, Richard Justice, who's been covering that sport for a long, long time. Some good insight there. What do you think of his Springer idea?
Boy.
5 years, $130 million.
I know.
To move on.
I know, but this is the problem. It's to move on, but Springer is likely, probability would dictate, since the majority of position players benefited from this, he's part of it too. And that's really, I'm having like a moment of grief over figuring out just how to, I was in a state of denial for a long time where I didn't know what the sanctions were going to be. And this is probably a little bit harsher than I expected, especially when you consider that Hinch and Luhnow ended up, part of the punishment is that those guys got fired. And I feel like that must have been part of the package deal or something with Major League Baseball or whatever. One of the after effects of those guys. In my mind, after the suspensions, those guys would be coming back. Yes. And Luhnow, for whatever you want to say about this and how complicit he was in any of it, whether he knew or not, whether he's handling it the right way right now, Luhnow is the guy whose contributions to this squad are without question. You know, this was a World Series team in 2019 without sign stealing. And it was without electronic sign stealing. And it was because Luhnow had put this roster together. It is because he had made these trades. He's the one that brought Verlander in. Luhnow wasn't employing sign stealing to get Verlander in the deal here. So to lose Luhnow, I don't think it's as simple as, hey, Jim Crane made a good decision once, and then he can do it again. Yeah, how about the Bulls back when they won all their championships? Those owners made some really good decisions in bringing in Jordan and Jackson. It took a while for them to get back to relevance. So that's what I'm concerned about.
We'll get to headlines here in just a second. Specific to Springer, because it sounds like you have concern over giving Springer that deal. Is it because you think he may have benefited from the sign stealing,
or is it just
general concern?
I want Springer back. I'm saying as a matter of wiping the slate clean. I don't know if re-signing a guy that was also involved in the sign stealing potentially wipes the slate clean. But I do, you know, that's my favorite player. Like, yeah, I'm saying bring Springer back.
Yeah.
This is the other thing. So the services that project what guys are going to get in arbitration project that Springer's going to get about $20.5 million.
Okay.
The Astros have offered him $17.5 million.
And he's asking for $22.5 million.
Which would lead you to believe that Springer's camp probably would have come down to $20.5 million. You know, if they met somewhere in the middle.
Maybe. It's going to be one or the other.
It would have been one or the other. But whatever, I would imagine that Luhnow had wind that this was all going to happen and that the sanctions were going to be pretty severe. So I don't know who's actually been at the table doing the negotiating and whatnot. I want to get that right. I want to get that part of it right where Springer is the guy you do want on this team for the next 5 years for sure. Yeah, I would like to get that part. I just don't know exactly how they're going to go about it with the guy that looks like me, Pete Petula. Yeah. People keep claiming he's my illegitimate son.
Okay.
Look, I was not that sexually prolific as a 14-year-old for Pete Petula to be my son.
Are you sure?
Now, my dad got around. But
so he might be your brother.
But he's not. Yeah, he could be my half-brother.
I'll say this about Springer, then we'll do headlines, Seth, is that Jim Crane, as Richard just alluded to, is handling baseball ops right now without a general manager handling things. Jim Crane is handling things himself. George Springer's extension is a deal that Jim Crane would be involved with, even if Jeff Luhnow were here because of the dollars involved. So I feel like there's almost a better chance of a deal like that getting done, a Springer extension, than there would be some low-level trade to tweak a utility player or a middle reliever or something like that. So I think there's a good chance it gets done, if they want to do it.
There's something, look, and I know we've got to get the headlines, but I feel like this is the headlines.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like we need to say this every quarter hour. I don't know if it's because people are in denial or whatnot, but I've been amazed that this entire last couple months, people keep coming up to me. It's not just on the text line. It's in person. Like, people will say, hey, but people have always stolen signs in baseball. And it's just such a basic part of it that, yes, that is true. It's the fact that they used electronics to do it, and because it was very specifically prohibited in a letter in September of 2017, that the punishments are more severe now, because the commissioner flat out said, hey, everybody, stop doing this now. The Astros didn't stop doing it. It's all about the electronics. So whenever you say, yeah, but they've always stolen signs, it's all about using a special camera in center field, having it routed directly to the clubhouse, and then having people relay the information they got from that to the players on the field.
The commissioner, actually, you know what? We'll keep this going. Let's play the headline bumper, because the Astros are the number one headline anyways.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Just continuing with the Astros, Seth, the report that the commissioner put out yesterday, the 9-page report, even says what you just said about sign stealing without electronics. It acknowledges that that's just part of baseball, that, you know, it may be something that's frowned upon in the unwritten rules. It may be something that if you're caught doing it, stealing signs with your human eyes and doing it without electronics, that you might get, you know, there may be some sort of retribution via the unwritten rules. But as far as the rules of baseball goes, stealing signs, if you're not using electronics to do it, is perfectly fine. Yeah. I mean, it basically said that in the report.
It's all about the electronics and the Spygate element to it, where,
yes,
they don't want this situation, where as technology gets better and better, too, what level do you start having people being able to hear what pitchers are saying with super specialized microphones? And they're trying to avoid that. The electronics I keep having people say, like, well, the only difference is they used electronics. Yes,
exactly.
That's the entire point.
Right,
that's the entire fact of the matter.
That is the entire thing. So just real quick, as we're talking about the Astros, if you're just getting in your car, you're just getting tuned in. The Astros, as you may have heard by now, fired Jeff Luhnow, their general manager, fired A.J. Hinch, their manager. Each of them are suspended for a year from doing anything baseball-related. Seth, they can't even go to a Major League Baseball stadium this year. They can't go to a game this year. Jeff Luhnow, A.J. Hinch, Brandon Taubman also, who had already been fired by the Astros for his conduct in the clubhouse after the ALCS, he was suspended for a year specifically for that conduct, not for the sign stealing. That was announced yesterday as well, and we wait to see what happens with Alex Cora.
Luhnow should go off to a Latin American league somewhere and buy his own team.
Oh, that would be
cool.
Because
he speaks Spanish fluently, obviously.
Does.
He has, you know, grew up in Mexico City, so he'll really embrace it. Go down and, like, dress like Clint Eastwood.
He should buy the entire league, and he should allow electronic sign stealing.
Ooh.
Like the XFL. Like, we allow electronic sign stealing in our league.
The old XFL, not the new XFL.
No, the new XFL.
The new XFL is a completely different, the whole different operating procedures than the old XFL.
I just mean doing things differently than
I'll just be careful. I don't want to piss off the people at the new XFL.
Yeah, true. Oh, yeah.
Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown, Terrence Marshall. And Burrow believes that was a crucial play to stretch the lead. You can see by their reaction. Dropped a dime again.
All right, Joe Burrow throwing touchdowns, throwing dimes, throwing for over 400 yards, rushing for a touchdown. LSU is your 2019 college football national champion. They beat Clemson last night, 41-24. They fell behind 17-7, but then they outscored the Tigers of LSU outscored the Tigers of Clemson 27-7 the rest of the way.
Two things. One, it's impossible not to think about just the difference between playing quarterback in the ACC versus in the SEC, I think, and sometimes maybe the disparities that come when you don't have an incredible defense the way you did last year. But two, just the stark contrast between this year's LSU offense and everything that's been going on there for however long.
It's
before
nuts.
That. Joe Burrow had 60 touchdown passes.
That's incredible.
This year. Do you know how many touchdown passes the four previous seasons of LSU quarterbacks combined threw for?
60.
59. Joe Burrow threw for more touchdowns in one season than the previous four seasons of quarterbacks at LSU threw. It's just astounding. And what a testament to Ed Orgeron. What a display of how nobody actually knows crap about what it takes to be a head coach in football and who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. Just kudos to LSU.
The name that's getting a lot of credit, too, is a guy by the name of Joe Brady, who has sort of been the passing game architect there at LSU this season. Young guy, 30 years old, who's going to start to get some run for some big OC jobs, or maybe even maybe a young head coach, possibly.
Might be the manager of the Astros next
year. He could be, yeah, the general manager, yeah. Sticking with college football, LSU, no big surprise. The final AP poll came out last night, LSU atop the poll. Clemson, number two. Ohio State, number three. So those are three playoff teams. The fourth playoff team, not as much respect. The Big 12, not getting a lot of respect in this AP poll. Oklahoma falling all the way to number seven. Georgia, Oregon, Florida, all in between Oklahoma and those top three teams.
Yeah. When was the last time Alabama was eighth?
Long time, eighth. Man.
Eighth. Long time. That looks weird. I had to triple check that before I even said it out
Alabama,
loud.
Alabama 11-2 and eighth in the poll. Alabama followed by Penn State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and Baylor rounding out the top 13. As far as other Big 12 teams making the top 25, only one other team snuck its way in, and it's Texas. UT at 8-5, finishing 25th in the poll. Seth, between...
Imagine how good LSU could have been if they'd actually gotten Tom Herman. Just think about that.
Yeah. Oh,
they'd
probably
be on their third national championship now.
Right, yeah. Right. There were, between spots 17 and 24, seven Group of Five teams. So the little guy getting at least some love... Memphis, yeah, Appalachian State, Navy, Cincinnati.
It's the hip thing to do these days. It's kind of like Cronuts.
Pat the little guy on the
head. Yeah,
Cronuts.
Yeah.
Love me a Cronut. So there's your AP Top 25. For those of you wondering, you Aggies out there, you just missed it. 26th in the AP poll. All right, moving on in headlines. Sticking with college football.
This one hurts.
De'Ara King.
I'm such a schmuck.
Into the transfer portal. The now former U of H, or I guess soon to be former U of H quarterback, who a lot of folks with U of H thought they were just doing a good thing by taking advantage of the loophole in the redshirting rule that you could play four games in a season and have that season not count towards your eligibility. So we're seeing that lot now, players playing the first three or four games and going, eh.
And a bunch of guys did it. Like, this looked like a kind of a redshirt year for the entire squad.
Right.
It was like, this was really like Dana Holgerson's redshirt year, we were thinking,
as
right?
As a coach, yeah.
And I'm the schmuck that thought, yeah, I bet De'Ara King is in on all of this. He'll actually do it. For a little while, I actually thought that.
Yeah.
And now this is just full bore confirmation that I was a schmuck. Once again, just like when I thought, like, all right, you know, the Astros, they might have cheated, but it probably wasn't that much. Schmuck.
Yep, schmuck. De'Ara King is in the transfer portal. Be interesting to see where he goes. Maybe he'll be the fourth straight transfer to quarterback the OU Sooners. We'll see.
Another Heisman for him.
Yeah, that's right. Another, at least a Heisman finalist. So you U of H fans, you'll need to find another quarterback for the 2020 season. Speaking of quarterbacks, Tony Romo. He is in his final year of his deal with CBS. And I don't know who has the Super Bowl this year. If CBS or Fox or NBC has the Super Bowl. So we could be seeing the final game that Tony Romo does on TV for CBS, unless CBS has the Super Bowl, and I'm not aware of it, in the AFC title game this weekend. ESPN, Seth, is getting ready to make Tony Romo the richest broadcaster in history if he were to accept their deal. According to Michael McCarthy of frontofficesports.com, ESPN is preparing to offer Tony Romo a 7-year contract that pays in the range of $10 million to $14 million annually, to which I say that they could start a GoFundMe. Presumably, this would be for him to do Monday Night Football because ESPN has the Monday Night Football package. I bet they could start a GoFundMe to pay Tony Romo's salary if that meant he were replacing Booger McFarlane.
Oh,
I think viewers would each chip in a couple of bucks.
Well, that would mean
to get Tony Romo.
I don't know if he is a package deal with Jim Nantz. Is Jim Nantz up?
No,
I feel like he should be. I think that those two and their long friendship has. It allowed.
Nance does a lot of stuff at CBS. Though,
I know. Yeah, that's Janie's been there. He's been with CBS his entire career, right? Since he's been national.
He's the face of that network.
Maybe CBS ponies up and they keep the money, or they keep pace with the offer.
I'm gonna say right now, Romo's gonna leave, and these articles that I've read about the TV rights deals that are coming up pretty soon, that NBC's gonna go after a bigger package of games really hard. Fox, ESPN. CBS may wind up being the odd man out in all this, and I can see Tony Romo wanting to go to a network where he knows they're going to be in the
mix. I'm going to say this. Be careful, ESPN. Tony Romo is awesome. He's still my favorite color commentator and coordinator. He was not as well prepared this year as he was last year. Well, he wasn't as good. His specificity, his play calling, like all that, he got stuff wrong. I'm not certain he understands the rules of pass interference. Of course, I mean, join the rest of us. But I don't know, man. I think he kind of phoned it in this year.
Florio, last sentence of his article about this. Some have questioned, however, whether Romo has gotten less focused and or prepared in his third year on the job.
Yeah, no, and it really, I thought it was blatantly obvious. I was surprised more people didn't pick up on it. I've kind of mentioned it here and there, but it's a thing. After this last game, I realized, wow, he's not nearly as good this year as he was last year.
All right, so there's these bad feelings about the Astros throughout the morning because of what happened yesterday. And this too shall pass. Eventually, we'll all move on from it. Just one little nugget here, Seth, something that gives me good feelings about the Astros. Tony Kemp, who's no longer an Astro, but I love Tony Kemp. He is a likable, lovable fella. He would come on with us each week during the playoffs a couple of years ago. Tony Kemp is awesome. He's back in the AL West. He was traded to the A's yesterday. So we're gonna see Tony Kemp 19 times next year.
I want to compete against him.
I just like to see him.
We should have a Tony Kemp bobblehead day.
They should.
And then we should also pin it on him. For the that'll be our hashtag.
Should be a life-size
pin it on Tony. No, the whole
allegation?
Scandal. Yeah, Tony was the ringleader. Hashtag.
There are still some hashtags coming in. We've asked you to send in your hashtags for the Astros marketing slogan for 2020, and you guys are doing a good job of that. So keep sending those in. 713-572-4610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.